You're listening to Focus on the Bible.
It's a beautiful day in which to serve the Lord. There's an eclipse that is supposed to happen today. The media has rolled it and rolled it and rolled it and rolled it for weeks and weeks on end now that this eclipse is going to happen. People have traveled to get a better vantage point, and good for them. Maybe you have your glasses ready, but I want to talk to you about something that's very important today. The question is, does this pending eclipse mean that the rapture is about to happen? Well, for a long, long time, men and religions and cults have made their predictions about the rapture. A man wrote a book in 1988 called 88 Reasons Why the Lord Will Return in 88 or something like that. It was told that there actually were 150 reasons, but they believe that 88 reasons made a better book title. In 2011, another man made a grand prediction about when the rapture was going to happen and turned a lot of people's lives upside down for a period. There was so much fear. And it's so sad when people become deceived and the hype has never to this time had the actual event match it. After a while, when that boy cries wolf over and over and over, people become dull to the cry of wolf. And that's a shame. Because in the old story that we loved so much, the boy who cried wolf, there really was a real wolf. And all the false predictions of the coming of the wolf didn't negate that wolf. The same thing could be true about the rapture. There are plenty of people who are so tired of hearing about it that they've stopped believing that it's a thing. And there are so many people who've heard so many false predictions by man that they've begun to think that, well, you could never understand it anyway, so I don't want to hear about it. So many of our churches have flamed out when it comes to teaching us about the rapture. And that's such a shame. Let's take first things first. First of all, what is the rapture? Well, the rapture is an event spoken of in the Bible. Primary passage is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll go there in just a moment. But this word means the departure. It's a departure. It also means a catching away. Now, I'd like for you to imagine in the old stories of the man in the sea and the harpooning of a whale. Now, that whale is caught by the harpoon. And men then begin to pull on the rope that has captured the whale. And that whale may be heavy and large, but that whale is going up into the boat because he's been harpooned. Now, there's a similar word that describes the rapture, and that is the rapture is harpazo. It's taken from that word harpoon. Well, who is subject to the rapture? Believers in Jesus. The rapture is the departure of the believers in Jesus out of this world. God is going to take away the believers in His Son before judgment falls on a darkened and unbelieving world, and so that His own do not come under that wrath to come, the Lord has let us know that this event that we commonly call the rapture is going to happen. Now, you don't have to call it the rapture. The English word rapture is not in the English Bible. The Greek is there. The Latin is there. But the word rapture is not necessarily a preferred word. You could call it the departure. You could call it the catching away. You could call it the removal, the snatching up. But when we use the word rapture today, What we mean is it's the removal of God's believers in Jesus. They're going to be taken out. In effect, it's going to be the end of what we call the church period in the world. He says the Bible opens, God is communicating, relating, dealing with people. And after a while, the Hebrews become the center of all that God is doing in the world. Jerusalem becomes the headquarters of the working of God. God loved the whole world. He wanted to reach the whole world. He wanted them all to be saved, even after the fall. But over time, those who had been put in trust with telling the world about the coming Messiah and how he would provide a lamb as a sacrificial offering for sin, that people could put their faith in him and be saved. When those who were to carry that message about the Messiah became dull to the message and were not delivering it, God formed a new group. That new group would be those who were excited about the Messiah, Jesus. Those who were believers in him were put together in a group and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God and called the called out assembly, the ecclesia of God, or more commonly in English, it's called the church, a called out assembly of people on a mission. Well, that church is in full force today all over the world. It's made of believing Jews, believing Gentiles, believing anybody's, who all together have been formed by God into this group called the church. And the church has an end in the world. And the end of the church period in this world comes to a close on the day of the rapture. It will affect all believers in Jesus. The catching away of all saved people will unite those believers together in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, and they will, whether they are dead or alive in the moment of the rapture, bodily, they'll be together. They'll be together with one another, and they'll be together with Jesus from that twinkling of an eye moment unto the ends of all ages. Nothing will ever separate the body of Christ again after the moment of the rapture. So friend, I look forward that today could in fact be the day of the rapture, because that'll be the greatest day I have to look forward to. That'll be the day that I see so many people that I love so much. And right now, I've been separated bodily from them because they have died physically, and I haven't. The day of the rapture is going to be our reunion. It's when we're united together again, and we have God's promise that after that uniting again in the air, in the clouds, in the moment, the twinkling of an eye of the rapture, we will never be separated again. Praise God. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And if the rapture's today, that gives me pure delight in my soul. The Lord and I have already talked about it today, how that if today is that day, there is no fear of the rapture. The fear is joy and gladness for every believer who understands what the Bible says. So friend, don't be confused by the hype train. Don't be confused by people who really don't know what they're doing with the Bible when they clumsily handle it and try and make predictions about the timing of the rapture. Just hold steady. Everybody, there's a time to just calm down. Go to the Bible and see what the Bible has to tell us about the rapture. Let's talk about some certainties. Certainty number one is this: the rapture of the church is going to happen. Now, I want to let the Bible describe what that event is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 In verse number 13, here we go. Paul the Apostle writes this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." Stop right there. What did he say? I don't want you to be ignorant. Ignorant means without knowledge. And this seems to be the case across the land today. There's so much lack of knowledge about the rapture and the timing of it. And that's a shame because God wrote it very clearly in the Bible. So Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. Now, Paul is using very gentle language here for those who have died. These were believers. You'll see this in the context here. It's not anyone who's died. It's those who trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Redeemer, the Messiah. And now they physically have died, and their bodies have been disposed of, probably in a grave. But Paul gives us the assurance of truth that we don't have to sorrow as though we'll never see those believers again. We will, and precisely, we'll see them again in the moment of the rapture. So he says, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You see, believers in Jesus aren't without hope. Sure, we grieve when someone passes, but we don't grieve without hope. Our hope is the certainty. It's the assurance that we can go ahead and anticipate the reunion we're going to have, even with those who have physically died. He says, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. In the moment of the rapture, there are two groups concerned. Both those groups are believers in Jesus. The one group consists of those who have died as believers in Jesus. We put their bodies probably in the ground. Group number two would be those of us who have believed in Jesus also, but we haven't died physically. We're still alive. So he says that those who are asleep in Jesus, those who believed and died, will God bring with him. So how is God going to bring them with him if we put their bodies in the ground? Well, the body was only one part of those dear people. There's also the spiritual life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 8 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when our believing loved ones died in Jesus, sure, we put their bodies away, but spiritually they immediately went to be with Jesus. So here in 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse number 14, it's very clear that those who sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him in the moment of the rapture. So when Jesus comes in the clouds in his glory, he'll have our dead believing loved ones with him, who spiritually have been with him since the very moment they died. Also, their bodies from the graves will be raptured. They'll depart their holding place in the graves and be united with the spiritual body as one, and be united with Jesus as one. And all believers then will be changed in the twinkling of an eye.
Thank you for joining us to Focus on the Bible. As we wrap up this episode, I want to share an opportunity for anyone between the ages of 12 and 18. Our youth camp, Grace Farm, is kicking off its summer camp soon. Each session is a week of solid Bible teaching and adventure that shouldn't be missed out on. If you or someone you know is interested, check out our website, gracefarmonline.com, to learn more and register for camp. That's all for today, but if you have any questions or comments about this episode or another biblical topic, feel free to mail them to Focus Ministries, P.O. Box 498, Danielsville, Georgia, 30633.